You know, a direct statement from God's truth can move sincere people to serve from the heart. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we're motivated to persuade men. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11. Sometimes a question may turn a light bulb on in our thinking, reasoning, and understanding. And so we have some great Bible questions for our consideration, which is the title of the lesson. The first recorded question that God asked man is, "Where art thou?" Recall the biblical record regarding the Garden of Eden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The Bible says that the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" Genesis 3 and verse 9. When God came and asked the question, Adam and Eve hid themselves among the trees in the garden, Genesis 3:8. But the Bible says that it is impossible to hide from God. Regarding the commitment to serve and helping to secure the promised land, Moses warned, "But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out," Numbers 32 and verse 23. "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do," reads Hebrews 4 and verse 13. So where am I and where are you? This is not a question of geography, but a question of spiritual self-examination. Are we in the world? The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6:23. When we are without Christ, we are aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, reads Ephesians 2:12. Therefore, we're let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, he's speaking to the Jews, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Acts 2:36 and 37. In considering where we are spiritually, are we remaining faithful? Paul said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called," Ephesians 4:1. And don't ever forget, we are called by the gospel, read 2 Thessalonians 2:14. Persecuted Christians of the first century were told, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life," reads Revelations 2 and verse 10. "He that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved," Matthew 24:13. Another great Bible question is, "Am I my brother's keeper?" which was Cain's effort to escape responsibility. Genesis 4:9 reads, "And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" Cain was, or at least should have been, his brother's keeper. The Lord said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground," Genesis 4, verse 10. I wonder if there's any spiritual brethren crying because we haven't helped them. The great Bible question of, "Am I brother's keeper?" demands that we ask, are we responsible for others? Do we have any responsibility to the lost? Paul said, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. Paul went on to say, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel, he says, to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, Romans 1:14-16. Do we have any responsibility to weak brethren? The Bible says we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves, Romans 15:1. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Do we have any responsibility to those who have become unfaithful? The Bible says, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault or sin, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins, James 5:19-20. Notice a great Bible question of eternal importance. If a man dies, shall he live again? Job said that, and he went on to say, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come, Job 14:14. Surely no accountable person with any depth ever lived whose mind has not been occupied with this question. One cannot answer it from experience nor from reasoning. The answer is revealed. Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him, 1 Thessalonians 4:13-14. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality, 1 Corinthians 15:51-53. We all need to make preparation while we are alive. John wrote, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. John 5:28-29. Concerning correct evaluation of one's soul, Jesus asked, for what is a man profited, or what shall he gain, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Reads Matthew 16:26. Would we trade our soul for Solomon's gold? Death is a great equalizer. The Bible says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:7. So, are we ready? What could be gained in the flesh? Absolutely nothing that really matters in the end. What could be lost spiritually in eternity? Everything. Some shall be punished with everlasting destruction, that is, destruction without end, from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, reads 2 Thessalonians 1:9. A great Bible question concerning authority and religion is, to whom shall we go? John chapter 6, beginning in verse 66, says that many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. That's John 6, 66 through 68. Do we go to our own wisdom? The Bible says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah 10, 23. There is a way, that is a singular way, which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways, plural ways, of death. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. Do we seek counsels of men or from denominationalism? Jesus said, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Matthew 15 and verse 9. Jesus went on to say, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Matthew 15 and verse 13. Do we follow after brethren and their practices? The Bible warns, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Acts 20 and verse 30. Peter answered Jesus, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. John 6, 68. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14, 6. God, who at sundry times, or in many parts, and in divers manners, or in many ways, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, which refers to the various occasions and different times throughout history, and emphasizes the diversity and multiplicity of God's communication with humanity in the past. So God hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world. Hebrews chapter 1, the first two verses, which highlights that the culmination and fullness of God's revelation is in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day, reads John 12 and verse 48. If we have no other authority, then we have no other hope. And so another great Bible question is, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, Hebrews 2 and verse 3. There will be only two destinies. One will be mine and one will be yours. Some shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Matthew 25, 46. One can go to hell simply by doing nothing. God will take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1, 8. In contrast, one cannot get to heaven by doing nothing. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, which is empty lip service, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, reads Matthew 7, 21. And being made perfect, he, that is Christ Jesus, became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, reads Hebrews 5, 9. Do we plan on making things right with the Lord later? The road to hell is paved with many good intentions. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Read 2 Corinthians 6:2. The Bible says, as Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered and said, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Acts 24:25. It is not convenience that will get one to heaven, but conviction to act upon the instructions from the Word of God. Concerning the jailer at Philippi, the Bible says he took them, that is, Paul and Silas, the same hour of the night, not at a convenient season, and washed their stripes, that is, he repented with godly sorrow, and was baptized, he and all his, that is, his family or household, straightway, that is, without delay, Acts 16:33. The previous study leads to this great Bible question. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Reads Revelation 6:17. Notice the question asked, then answered. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Read Psalms 24, verses 3 and 4. None will stand if they do not obey the gospel. Concerning Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, the Bible reveals as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him, the Bible says. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. That's Acts 8:36 through 39. So how many Christians will stand? The Bible says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, not just some of it or what we like, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Ephesians 6:13. It is essential to stand for truth because some received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10. It is also essential to stand against error or that way that is unscriptural or unbiblical because we are told have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness but rather reprove them. Ephesians 5:11. If we have not yet taken a spiritual stand, we need to ask the same great Bible question that Saul of Tarsus was asked. As he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Acts 9 and verse 6. To the lost, the answer is the same as it was to Saul. And now why tarriest thou? That is, why wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. The parallel passage, Acts 9 and verse 18. If we were once baptized into Christ, but have since become unfaithful, the Bible says to those who have left thy first love, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Revelations 2, 4, and 5. Some should go to the Heavenly Father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Luke 15, 18. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Reads 1 John 1 and verse 9. In closing, don't ever forget these great Bible questions. Where art thou? Am I responsible? Will I live again? What is the gain? To whom shall we go? How shall we escape? Who will stand? And what am I to do? In light of these questions, consider the last question of this lesson soberly. Saul, who later became Paul, was convicted, wanted to serve, and he obeyed from the heart. What about me and what about you? Saul was asked, why fearest thou that his wife may arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord? Acts 1:16. The bride and the spirit say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Revelation 22:17. The Lord invites and we await to assist. If you have a spiritual need, won't you come without delay? While together we stand and sing, if you're able to do so.
When we walk with the fear.